Welcome to the Victory Gospel Hour, the weekly radio ministry outreach of West Marion Baptist Church, where Dr. George Ragsdale is pastor, Jesus is Lord, and lives are being changed one verse at a time. Be sure to listen for directions to the church and contact information at the end of today's program. And now, let's go to the service from the West Marion Baptist Church Auditorium and Pastor George Ragsdale.
All right, and now we're in our Sunday school class. I hope you have your outlines from last week. We're studying, looking at Trust Him, and we're looking at part two of what we looked at last Sunday. So if you did not get one last Sunday and we're not here, we do have some extra ones Miss Cindy has, and hope that everybody has one there. We're going to do a little review in it right quick to help some of you out that might want to fill in a little bit if you need to, as we take a look at Trust Him. We've been talking about for several weeks of running the race that God has set before us. And how'd you do this week in your race? See, you're running a race every day. And every day God has a race set before us. And we're running that race. And we've learned along the way in that race there are hurdles, trials, testings, hurdles that we have to face. And then David taught us that we, along the way in the race, we have noise. How many of you like noise? How many of you like peace and quiet? Isn't it nice to have peace and quiet? And that's one of the things I do like personally when I go out to eat. I do like to go to a restaurant where it's peaceful and quiet. It gets too noisy, David, and too riled up, I start getting indigestion and nervous, and I want it to quiet down. But, you know, David said in Psalm 40, we learned David said in the race, there's a lot of noise, and David said, the noise is going to be there, and he was teaching us in Psalm 40 how to rise above the noise. See, we're not going to get rid of the noise, but we can rise above it. And so we looked at that, and then from there we've talked about fear, and now we've been looking at, along the way in the race, we're going to have to trust Him more than ever. More than ever before, we're going to have to trust God in 2024, more than we ever have. And matter of fact, you know, the trust is a matter of every day. And the question is how did you trust Him this week? Did you trust Him more this week than last week? Did you trust Him more in your decision-making and so forth and where you're going and your circumstances and situations? Or, like most of the time, did you try to work everything out, figure everything out yourself? See, because we're going to trust either God or we're going to trust ourselves. One or the other, those two decisions. And so we're looking at that, and we have to learn that. And so as we make decisions, our decisions ought to be based on God rather than on self. And if we base our decisions on God, we're going to be a whole lot better off, and the race will go a lot smoother. Remember, you're still in the race, and you're going to be in the race until the Lord calls you home or the trumpet sounds. And a few have lost loved ones this week in our church family. Juanita, I think, didn't you, George and Cindy? And your family won, yeah. George and Cindy lost one in their family this week. And so did Juanita. That's why she's not with us. She was attending a funeral last night of her brother-in-law in Tampa. And so, I mean, we're going to face those things. And we got to trust God. We're looking in Psalm 56. So if you have your Bibles, take them open to Psalm 56. It's a psalm of David here. It's a prayer of trust where David says, I'm going to, what time I am afraid, I will trust in Him. And what time I am afraid, I will trust in Him. Now, may I say something too along with David here? I wish David would have kind of written it into it and says, and not only when I'm afraid, but all other times. You know, we're not afraid all the time, right? Amen. And we ought not wait to trust God when we're afraid. We ought to trust God all the time. Not wait till we find ourselves in a situation that's fearful or frightening, and then all of a sudden we say, well, maybe I better trust the Lord. You know, maybe it's time to trust in Him. It'd be kind if we kind of do that right off the bat. But we have that here as we're looking at it, and we've seen in David's life as we talk about it, David said here, if you take a look at it again in verse 3, our key verse of Psalm 56, he said, what time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. Then he exercised his will, as we looked at last week, in God I will praise, and what did he say? I'm going to praise His word. and in God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. He repeats that again back down in verse number 9, if you look at it with me there in your Bible or in your study notes from last week. When I cry unto thee, then shall my enemies turn back. This I know, for God is with me. Now he repeats what he did in verse 3. In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. In verse 11, in God have I put my trust. And so he repeats that a couple of times there and letting us know. And well, if there's any troubles and problems, David had them, the king of Israel. And I'm sure all of us have gone through some troubles and trials, and we go through them even now. I mean, you know, what are you going to do? You got to learn to trust the Lord. So, Father, thank you for today. What a beautiful day, Lord. Beautiful sunrise. Wow, this could have been the day the Lord would come and you would eclipse the sun. Science and everybody's talking about the great eclipse that's coming on the 8th and 9th of April. But, oh, it's going to last about 4.5 minutes. But, God, just think if you come, you would eclipse the sun like never before ever seen. And we thank you for that promise of your coming. And, Lord, we look forward to it. Thank you for this wonderful Palm Sunday today. As we take a look and focus on your triumphant entry into Jerusalem, and these were nothing but steps that would lead to the cross on Friday. So, Father, as we celebrate this week of Easter week, may we spend some time focusing on the path and the steps and the race that you had to run. And this week especially, we're going to see a race that you had to run for us. And so we thank you and we praise you for it. Father, help us now as we look into this, as we learn to trust you more in everything, not just when we're afraid, but in everything as we run our race. May we give you the praise and glory. Now may your Holy Spirit be our teacher and our guide and guide us into all truth. And Father, we'll give you all the praise and glory for it. In the wonderful name of Jesus, amen and amen. Well, first of all, we learned last week that David said, hey, in our race, in this race and trusting him, there is the reality of fear. David said, in what time I am afraid? So he realized there's the reality of fear. And church, we're going to have those times of fear. Fear is a reality. It is real. And if it's not careful, it can grip your heart. And when it does, it paralyzes you. Everybody kind of know what I'm talking about? Anybody ever here had a time when you've been paralyzed from fear, and it's like you couldn't move? You know, I mean, it happens. It happens even to some of our folks recently here. You know, we can come in the middle of the night, middle of the morning. I mean, there's that fear that can grip your heart, and sometimes it mobilizes you. I think some of the times that I've gone through some horrible times of fear, for some reason or another, it's been in ready for surgery, and going into surgery, and I've let fear grip my heart, even though I trust the doctors and so forth. And the main one you better trust is the anesthesiologist. Don't worry about the doctor. He's just going to do his thing. But if something happens, he starts screaming and hollering for the anesthesiologist. Hey, man, you better take care of this guy. We're losing him. He's dropping out. You know, whatever. I mean, you're in their hands when they tell you they're going to take care of you. And sometimes fear can grip your heart of facing that. And, I mean, well, I battled that with my major back surgery. And I know what that's like. And there's times when you feel troubled in your spirit. You ever been going through one of those times in your life where you've been troubled in your spirit and just something's been troubling you, and you found yourself sometimes in bed in the middle of the night or awoken, and I mean, just you sense this presence that's there, and all of a sudden you're not quite sure what it is, and that fear grips a hold of you and you can't even get out of bed. You try to raise up or try to move and you can't move. Because fear grips your heart and it paralyzes you. It demobilizes you. And so when those times come, you got to put your trust in the Lord. But let's not wait till those times come. Amen? I mean, we ought to trust God for this afternoon. You'd better trust the Lord on your way home. There's a lot of weirdo drivers out there. And not only weirdo drivers, but there are people out there that can be driving along and all of a sudden have a stroke. Have a heart attack, a stroke, pass out, and they swerve over into your lane, and hit you head on. I mean, you can't stay home and never drive again because of that, but you can't fear that, but you got to put your trust in the Lord. And I have to trust the Lord every time I get an automobile. You know, Lord, you got to be the pilot of this thing today. And my angels are sitting all around in garden and hope they hang on, because I like to move out on the freeway. And, you know, and if they would just open up their wings a little bit, that gives them airlift. And, you know, it's like a plane. You know, you got to have that lift, air flowing under there, lift them up. And, you know, that's when they look at each other and say, well, I'm out of here. This guy wants to be crazy. I'm out of here. And so, you know, you got to trust God. You got to trust God for tomorrow, because you know what? I don't know what tomorrow brings. Boast not thyself for tomorrow, for one knows not what tomorrow may bring. For life is but a vapor. It appeareth for a little while, and then it vanisheth away. Therefore, when we say we're going to do this and do that, we ought to say, if the Lord wills. That's all in James, if you want to read that. And that's where he goes into that and says, you know, you say, well, I'm going to go do this, I'm going to go do that, I'm going to do that. And James says, no, what we ought to say, if the Lord wills, we'll go and we'll do. And we have to do it. And tomorrow you're going to make decisions. And those decisions will be based on self or based on God's decisions. And you're going to go places and do things. Just put your trust in the Lord. Make sure it's his will. Always ask the Lord, you know, God, is this your will for us and in this and so forth? And seek his will in that. Because there is the reality of fear. And David said not only the reality, he says, and a lot of times what brings fear in David's life at that time was the enemy. David said there's the reality of the presence of enemies in our lives. And those enemies can come in all different sizes, flavors, and shapes, and so forth, okay, of the enemies. And David said, man, they're out after me. Saul's after me. My son Absalom's leading the revolts after me. I mean, man, I've only got 600 men left out of my army. Here we are hiding in the land of the Philistines, of all things. You know, Gath there, where he took out Goliath, who was from Gath of the Philistines. And now he's hiding out in the caves in the Philistines. And so he knew the presence of the enemies were around him. And so we have to face that. And then he said, introduced us to the plot of the enemies in verse 5. He said, man, they're trying to take everything that I say and twist it and turn it around to an untruth, and my words, and to make it bad. And then he said, well, then when these things are going on, he said, I'm going to have to learn to renew the trust. Number two, the renewal of trust. And that's, again, found in verse 3. What time I am afraid, what? I will trust in thee. Folks, you're going to have those times along the journey in the race. In our race, we're going to have those times that fear comes, and we're going to have to renew our trust in the Lord. But I say, don't wait till the time of fear comes. You know, you trust him more every day. Every decision you make, let it be within the Lord's will and within his counsel and wisdom, and trust God in it. And we learned that in this trusting was volitional. That means it's according to your will. David says, I will. I'm going to make a renewal here. He said, there's sometimes of your will. He says, I will. I will not fear. I will trust the Lord. I will praise the Lord. So there are two principles here in trusting God, and one is volitional. And that's where we exercise our will, that we're going to trust the Lord and going to praise the Lord. How much did you praise the Lord this week? You see, we go and do, and we get caught up and running and going and doing, and we got to be here, we got to go there, we got to get this done, we got to get that, got to make some calls, on and on and on, and we forget all about praising the Lord and trusting him at the same time. See, folks, it's an exercise of our will. And you know what all that takes? It takes discipline. You got to discipline yourself for those things. And it has to be a daily discipline. See, if you're going to be a good soldier, you got to discipline, right? And so there's times of discipline. So discipline yourself in the days ahead, and determine, God, by your grace and mercy, I'm going to trust you more today. Don't say, God, I'm going to trust you more 4 weeks from now. You don't know what's going to happen 4 weeks, or where you're even going to be here from 4 weeks from now. But how about today when you get up tomorrow morning? Lord, I'm going to trust you today, and I'm going to exercise my will. I'm going to praise you today. And you need to praise him more and more. And so that's what David did, and it's what he's teaching us in this psalm here. And then we gave you four praiseworthy attributes of God's word, and we looked at the first one. God's word, there's the necessity of God's word. There's the necessity of God's Word. Church, as a believer, you can't live without it. You cannot live without God's Word. And it just amazes me and surprises me of how many, so many believers feel like they can and do. I mean, it's just, it's amazing, and it's heartbreaking. And I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I cannot live a day without it. I've got to have God's Word for the day. I don't care if it's a verse, a chapter, a quote, whatever. Look at what's coming up, what's coming on, what we're working on, what we're looking at. I mean, I start off in my office, first thing right off the bat, look at my calendar, of course. I got to wait for that first. But, you know, hey, Lord, what do we got going on today? And I want to trust you today. And, Lord, today I can't live without your Word. So you got to open up the Scripture and you got to get into something. Like I said, I don't care what it is. And then start looking, and then maybe look at the calendar after that. All right, what do I got to do today, David? Where I got to be today? Where I got to go today? And here we go. Now, Lord, as we do, may your will be done today in my life. Use me if you can wherever we go. And I certainly will trust you today, especially when I'm in this car and on the highways. Because we got a lot of crazy people in this town, in this county. So I really need your trust for that. And, you know, it's just so I can't live without his Word. Then, David, another priority of God's attribute is the sufficiency of God's Word. I can always trust it. You can always trust God's Word. Amen. Folks, for anything and everything. That's why you can't live without it. That's why you can't go a day without it, because you can, the sufficiency of God's Word, you can trust it. You can always trust God's Word. And then another thing about God's Word, the clarity of God's Word. It brings everything clarity into our lives. The Word of God will make everything clear and bring clarity into our lives. You're confused about something. You're not sure about something. Something isn't quite clear. It looks a little shadowy or a little cloudy. Go to the Word of God. The Word of God will clear it up for you. And clear it up for you. But again, it's something you have to do. And then, of course, the fourth attribute of God's Word is the authority of God's Word. We always got to come back to the final authority is God's Word. Amen? There's man's authority. There's your authority, my authority. But God's Word is the final authority. Thus saith the Word. That's how important the Word of God is. And then he said about this thing of renewing his trust, not only exercise the will and his will, but he says, I'm going to have some convictions that God will take care of my battles. That God can take care of my enemy. And that's what he said. He asked the Lord to cast them down. I mean, hey, Lord, cast down my enemy. Cast down the wicked. And David was going to put his conviction that, hey, I've got a conviction, a strong conviction here. I'm surrounded by the enemy. They're after my life. Even my own family's after me. But I've got a conviction. I'm going to trust in the Lord. I'm going to praise the Lord. I'm going to count on his Word. And I'm going to have a conviction that God is going to take care of my battle, because the battle, church, is the Lord's. It's not yours and mine. It's his battle. Okay? And we saw that in Samuel there. In Samuel 17:47, for the battle is the Lord's. So the battles we're fighting every day, and folks, we do. Paul said in Ephesians, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers and darkness, and he lists all four of them there. And that's why he said you need to put on the whole armor of God. You need to be filled with the Spirit, because you're going into battle every day. And I know sometimes it gets tiring and wearisome, and you kind of wonder, man, when is this all going to stop? Or you say, Lord, you mind lightening up a little bit? You ever told the Lord that, huh? You ever come clean? It just seems like you're getting overwhelmed with everything, David. One thing after another just keeps hitting you and bombarding you, and it gets to the point where, man, I don't know if I can take any more of this. Well, again, we got to trust in God's Word on that too, don't we? What did the Lord say? He would not put any more on us than we can bear. Hello? Now, I don't understand all that, because I say, hey, I don't know about you, but I can't bear no more. And so do you mind lightening up a little bit? No, respectfully. But he is my dad, right? I have a father-son relationship. And I can go to my dad and say, hey, Papa, could you mind lightening up a little bit? I know Mama had a hard time delivering me because I had these broad shoulders. I said, but you know, I know you can't shrink the shoulders, but you can lighten the load. And he says, listen, I got it all taken care of. I've got it under control. And I know you can bear even more than you think you can. And I promise you, I'll not put any more on you than you can bear. Are you going to trust God for that? See, you got to just come to the conclusion, all right, God, I surrender, I trust you. Apparently, I can trust more. I guess I'm more made of than what I think I'm made of. I said, maybe I am a Green Beret. You know, maybe I'm a Ranger, Airborne Ranger. Maybe I am a Recon. Maybe I'm a Navy SEAL. Or maybe, God, I'm all of them wrapped up in one. So you know what's best for me. And you must apparently think this is best for me. I don't understand it. But God, I'm going to trust you in it. And I'm going to trust you with it. I don't understand it all. But I'll trust you with it and in it. And I know that's hard to do. But there has to be that surrender of our will to his will. And to realize the battle's the Lord's. He's going to take care of it. And then we learned also in that conviction, you got to have a conviction about yourself, church, that even no matter what you're going through, how hard it is, he is still the God of all comfort. Hello. He's going to comfort you. So you may not think so at the moment. I mean, no trial or heavy trial especially is joyous at the time. And there may be weeping in the night, but the Bible promises there will be joy in the morning. Right? And so it's a matter of exercising our will, trusting God in all of this and to comfort us. And we looked at those things. And then we pick up where we left off last week. Number three, the rest of faith. The rest of faith. And we see that here in verse number 9. You want to take a look at verse number 9? Notice with me. He says, when I cry unto thee, then shall my enemies turn back. Now look at this confidence. There's the rest of faith. I want you to see the confidence David has. And you need to have the same confidence. Y'all with me? You won't be with me if you're not looking at your Bible, your study notes. Don't listen to me. Listen and read what the Word of God says. Okay? It says here, when I cry unto thee, how many of you cry unto the Lord? Then shall my enemies turn back. Notice the next thing God, he says here. Don't miss this. This I know, for God is with me. That's confidence. That's not being overconfident. That's having confidence that no matter what's going on in your race, no matter how difficult it may seem, no matter how big the hurdles may be, and so forth, God, this I know. That's confidence. David knew, even though Saul was out to kill him, his son Absalom was out to kill him in a revolt and take the kingdom, everything. And now he's living in a cave in the land of the Philistines. Oh my goodness, what he just took out their champion? Goliath? I mean, come on now. You got to be kidding me. When he made a deal with Achish there, one of the kings, Archers, something, Achish, the king, there to one of the kings of the Philistines, and said, do you mind if me and my men kind of have this little piece of land over here and kind of hang out here in the caves? And he agreed to do so, the land of the Philistines. And so all this is going on, and he says, David said, this I know. Now, folks, no matter how grim it looks right now, no how many, how dark it may look right now in your life and what you're going through, those of you that are watching on Rumble and listening to us, you need to have the confidence to be as David and say, this I know. Well, someone says, well, what do you know? Well, you could say this. I don't know very much, but this I do know. God is with me. God is with me. And that's why he went on to say, in God will I praise his word, and in the Lord will I praise his word. You know how many both times he says? He recognizes him as God, recognizes him as Lord. Jehovah God, Elohim, Adonai, the Lord, I will praise his word. So David had this wonderful confidence. Matter of fact, Psalms 118:6, look in your notes there on page 4, I believe. The Lord is on my side. How many believe God's on your side? Amen. And I will not fear what man can do unto me. Oh, my goodness. And as we look at this confidence, I started writing down. I just got a bunch of them here. And just let me go through them for you, and you don't have to. In Psalms 13, in Hebrews 13:6, the Bible says, "The Lord is my helper." In 13:5, he said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Matthew 28:20, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the earth." And then as you go through and look out and just type in some of the things that the Lord is my. And then it pops up and you see all these things that the Lord is my, the Lord is my. And I thought, wow, okay, what all this do I have for me, David? And I started looking at some of this stuff and said, wow. And I thought right off the bat in Romans 8:31, if God be for me, who can be against me? In the trials that you're going through, the trouble, the difficulties, the Lord is my rock, the Lord is my helper, the Lord is my strength, the Lord is my light, the Lord is my defense, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shield, the Lord is my buckler, the Lord is my salvation, the Lord is my fortress, the Lord is my deliverer. You can go through and type that in and you see all these things that the Lord is mine. And wow, that's having some confidence that you know that the Lord is with me. This I know. Folks, if you don't know anything else, this one thing you should know, that God is with you. He's with you now and forever. And I'll tell you, there'll be those times. And those times in your race and in those trials, circumstances, and difficulties, and times that you're going to cry out. And sometimes, I know I have and I know you have. You're going through it and you're thinking, God, where are you? Anybody ever say that? Anybody ever think that when you're going through stuff? Lord, where are you? Do you not see, do you not hear all that I'm going through and what's going on? Where are you? Then you go to these things here. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Though I'm with you always, even unto the end of the earth. The Lord is for me. If God be for me, then what trial or circumstance can be against me? The battles is the Lord's. He's my helper. He's my defender. He's my defense. He's my shepherd, my shield, my buckler, my salvation. Oh my goodness, look at all these wonderful things that God is. And so we can have that kind of confidence. And we find that in this confidence, David said, he is for your salvation. The Lord is for your salvation. Romans 8:31-32, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? You need to have confidence that the Lord is on your side, that the Lord is with you. Just like David said, I know this, I know. God is for me. And then he goes on, I'm going to praise his word. I'm going to praise the Lord. I'm going to put my trust in him, and so forth. So we see that God, he is for our salvation. We see, secondly, he is for our strengthening. And I found that some of that. My God is my strength, my buckler, my shield. God is for our strengthening. Did you know God wants to strengthen you and I? Listen to what Paul said in Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which began a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. I have lived by that verse in my life. All the ups and downs and the trials and everything and the curves and the obstacles in the race is that God is going to complete and finish what he started in me years ago. Years and years and years ago. God is going to finish and complete the job. And you may have felt like God called you into something and something in your life and started and things came about and kind of messed that up and you found yourself not doing it in a different direction or going on and on. And let me remind you, whatever God started in your life, he's going to finish it. Whatever he started in your life, God's going to finish it, not you. God's going to finish it. He's going to finish it until the day of Jesus Christ. So whatever work God started in you, way back, and you may say 30, 40 years ago, You may have felt in a move of God in your life and in your heart and in a church and a revival and a missions conference. You felt that tug of move of God and that calling of God, and maybe you started in that direction and, you know, things happened and you got sidetracked and everything, and here you are now. Let me tell you something. God is going to still finish the work that he started in you until Jesus comes in the clouds of glory. You can bank on that. Philippians 4, 13 and 15. Till we all come into the unity of faith. Remember, we looked at that Wednesday night. How many of you are with me on Wednesday night? We talked about how to act in church. Now, some of you looked at that title and thought, oh boy, now we gotta behave and we gotta look right, dress right, talk right. You know, when David gets up to sing, get in our seats immediately, and you know, and well, you should. I mean, I just go on to make a comment on that while we're at it, okay? When the song leader gets up there and says, take your hymnals and open, let's sing, you need to be singing, not walking around talking to everybody else. And when George is playing, you need to be focused on him. When Cindy's playing, you focus on him. If David's singing or Carol's singing, you need to be focused on them. That's a little bit how you ought to act in church, okay? But what he was talking about in verse 3, he said there that we endeavor to keep unity in the bond of peace. That's how we're to act in church, is to keep unity. And he gave us the four ingredients there, and then he gave us the seven reasons why. One God, one body, one spirit, one family, one Lord. Remember that Wednesday night? Okay, so here we are. Till we all come into the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect or complete mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we beseech you henceforth, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine. And boy, is that happening today. I'm telling you, man, the church today and what's going on is that people everywhere in every church and denominations, I don't care what they are, and even in the Baptist faith and even in the independent movement, are just literally being carried away by every wind and doctrine that's coming down the pike and throws at them. Oh, and if it looks good or sounds good or feels good, that's got to be of the Holy Ghost. And they're just, and they're getting all messed up. I mean, it's unbelievable of the doctrine, especially where people really get messed up in their doctrine, is eschatology. And that's the study of end times, the last days. Boy, do they get messed up in that. Man, I've got them emailing me, criticizing me that I'm a pre-trib premillennialist. I mean, oh my goodness. And, you know, you don't know what you're talking about. And we're, you know, you got to be mid-tribs and post-tribbers. And then, by the way, and then one of them hit me last week and says, yeah, you got to understand, you got to persevere to the end to be saved. And well, the verse says that. But you see, they take that verse totally out of content and context. No, you and I persevere to the end because we are saved. If we have to persevere to the end to be saved, then that's a work salvation. And that's depending on how you're going to work and act and what you do. So when you get to the end, whether or not you're going to be saved or not. Because you did all these things, you kept all these things, you see. And the people get all messed up on that. That's why you got to be careful. And another place where people get messed up in their doctrine is in the eternal security of the believer. If somebody's teaching and preaching and they do not believe in the eternal security of the believer, I'm telling you, they're going to be off and most all the rest of the doctrines of the Scripture. So you've got to watch that. And here... You've got to become mature in the Lord. That's why you can't live without the Word of God. That's why the efficiency of God's Word, the clarity of God's Word, the authority of God's Word, what we just talked about 10 minutes ago, is so important, because if not, you're going to be carried away by every wind and doctrine that comes down the pike. And believers today are just absolutely doing that. Doctrine today has gone out the window. Nobody wants to hear doctrine. They don't want to sit under it. They don't want to hear it. They don't want anything to do with it. They want their ears tickled. They want entertainment. They want excitement. They want to go to the circus. They want to go to the zoo. I mean, whatever. I mean, you know, they want to have some out-of-body experience and everything. And it's like the Word of God and God Himself is not enough. And it doesn't satisfy them. So we got to go look to see where there are more bigger things, more exciting things going on. And let me tell you something. That goes for a little while, and then guess what? They got to find something to go bigger and to the next level and to the next level. And it gets ballistic. And how you get them is how you got to keep them. And you got to keep that merry-go-round going. And it's like that. You jump on the merry-go-round, and it just goes around and around and around. And pretty soon that thing goes faster and faster. And the next thing you know, you're dizzy. And if you're not hanging on to the horse or the post that you're riding in, you're flung out. And there you are out in the world and nothing to sound doctrine to keep you there. And it's so important. He said, you're carried away by every wind of doctrine, you're tossed to and fro by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, speaking the truth in love may grow up. He comes back now and says we ought to be speaking the truth in love and may grow up unto Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. See, what's going to strengthen you is sound doctrine. What's going to grow you up and mature you in the Lord is sound doctrine. And it's so important. And so many of our churches have gotten away from it. So many of our friends that come out of our church in Alaska have now gone the wild route and the wild way. And you go and look at some of their services, where they're at, what's going on, and you listen to the interviews and afterwards, and nobody says anything about the preaching. They don't even know what the preacher preached if he did. There's no comment on the Word of God. There's no comment on the message. It's all about the music and the entertainers. That's what it's all about. Folks, I don't deny people with ability to play and instruments and so forth and sing, but that's not what it's about. George plays the guitar, but he doesn't get us all here in a frenzy and forget where we're at and who we are. And we don't have the strobe light on him and the strobe ball going around and around and hitting him and smoke coming up from underneath the platform while he's playing and some fireworks shooting out of the end of his guitar because he's got the thing so hot and it's going, man, I mean, it's smoking. I mean, and he's wearing an asbestos glove to play it and it's shooting out fire and the strings are popping, boom, boom. And I mean, the crowd's going ballistic. And then he goes, okay, preacher, I'm done, your turn. Oh, okay, thank you. I'm to follow that act? You got to be kidding me. So I get up, try to do something for 20 minutes and sit down, and everybody goes out, and you ask everybody, oh, how'd you like the service? Oh, man, George was awesome. Man, that guitar player, I never heard anything like that. It was fantastic. What an experience. And the music, it just, I'm telling you, just lifted my spirit and took me into the third heaven and on and on and on. And you say, well, what about the preacher? I don't know what he said. Did he say something? It's the truth. You laugh, but that's what we watch. We hear and we listen to it. And these are people that came out of good, solid, independent, fundamental Baptist churches and so forth, and now they've gone the other direction, and that's all you talk about. And all the praise and all the glory goes to the magicians and the musicians. Magicians, that's what they are. The musicians and the singers and the talent. Nothing about the Word of God. Oh, preacher, don't open this book. That's boring. This isn't satisfying. May I say, folks, only Jesus satisfies. Only the Word of God will satisfy you. It is a balm in Gilead. It is the Word of God. This is what brings you comfort and growth, not all that other stuff. So he ends and he says, look at verse 11 and 14 with me. And say, how do we rest in the faith? Well, we got to have confidence and we got to have continuance. Look at verse 11 and verse 13 with me in the Psalm. We're done. Verse 11. In God, again, he repeats it. Here's the confidence he has. I have put my trust and I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. He said that in verse 3. He repeats it again. So you got to get continuance. Your faith has continued. Look at verse 13. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? See, David's talking about continuance. We got to move on. Amen? So praise the Lord. And next week, we'll just see what the Lord has for us for Resurrection Sunday. And so invite folks to come. This morning, we're going to get ready. We're going to have the Lord's Supper. Our ladies are going to bring in the stuff and get it ready. And so forth. Praise the Lord. We got about 14 minutes, 13 minutes. And then guess what? We're going to be in our seats. We're going to be paying attention. We're going to have our hymnals. And we're going to learn how to act in church when Brother David said, let's stand and sing. Amen. Amen. All right. Father, thank you for today. We bless you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Praise God.
Thank you for listening today to the Victory Gospel Hour, the weekly radio ministry outreach of West Marion Baptist Church. It's Pastor Ragsdale's prayer that this program was a blessing to you. We trust that you'll grow in your Christian life through the preaching and teaching of God's Word as you join us here on the Victory Gospel Hour. We welcome your calls, comments, and prayer requests. You can reach us at 352-245-8900 or on the web at westmarionbaptistchurch.com. Join us every Sunday here at West Marion Baptist Church, 6001 Northwest 135th Avenue in Morriston, Florida, at 10:45 a.m. And be sure to listen in again next week at this same time for another inspired message from God's Word on the Victory Gospel Hour with Dr. George Ragsdale.